Well, my name is Amy Bilsland. I want to tell you just a little bit about myself. So excited to be here. The Lord has been so good to me, and I want to thank you guys so much for welcoming me and loving me this week. This is my whole family. Three of us are here, have been since Saturday. My husband, Steve, and our youngest joined us on Saturday. Her name is Tatum, and she, her name means joy, and that's what she exudes all the time. There is no like in between for her. It's all in all the time. Our oldest son Josiah is 17. And then our middle daughter Kalan is 13. So there is never ever a dull moment in our house. But I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I was raised in a pastor's home. Grew up in the church my entire life. My grandfather was a pastor. My uncle was a pastor. It's been in my family line. And so it was almost one of those things like, that's just what you're going to do. However, that was not the way my life always went. It wasn't, that, yes, this is what you are called to do. One of the things that stood out to me the most, a lot of people say, oh, I've been called to youth ministry. I've been called to kids ministry. I've been called to lead pastor. And I've never felt that. I've always felt that I've just been called to serve in any capacity that the Lord has asked me to fulfill. So, when I was growing up though, my parents, before they, pastored a church, we traveled and did kids crusades. Anybody remember kids crusades? Do they still do kids crusades? They have a different word for it now, but they travel around with the puppet stage and we did puppets and we sang. And, so whenever I left to go to Bible school, met Steve at school. We've now been married 19 years. But met Steve. We were going on staff at a church, and he said, I want you guys to come and to serve. We were like, absolutely. In what capacity? And he said, children's. And I told Steve, I said, absolutely not. Not interested. This is what I've done my whole life. You know, I've been with kids. I'm not interested in kids, working with kids. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and he said, I've called you to serve. Now let me tell you, most all of our entire ministry life, has a big part of it has been with kids. And so they're very dear to my heart. I'm the oldest of three girls. I have two younger sisters. I was called into the ministry, called to serve at the age of 12. At a kids camp, at a camp, church camp. So church camp for me is vital. Started going to camp when I was 2. My parents brought me. They always took me, and our kids have known nothing different. Our son, Josiah, has already started classes. He's doing dual enrollment in high school. He's headed to Point University when he graduates. Feels called to missions. We're very blessed that we have 3 children who truly love the Lord. Took his first missions trip without us to Israel last year. Talk about a scary moment and lots of prayer over those couple of weeks while he was gone. Our daughter Kalan, who just turned 13, she just took her first stateside mission trip without us this year. So we were very, very excited for her. My whole life, missions has been very, very, very dear to my heart. When Steve and I met, I was very much not interested in dating or relationships. I was actually headed to Africa at that time. We got engaged literally the day before I left. So he was hoping that I would come back, of which I did. I did. And we've kind of, that has been a one main thing in our life that has been so incredibly important to us. We've been, like I said, been in ministry together for most of our married lives. We were on staff at a church in Springfield, Missouri, and then we left and came to Atlanta. We were in Atlanta for 10 years, and now we live in Macon, and we both serve, and we love serving God's people. There's lots of things and opportunities that he has given us through ministry, and this is one of them. So we're so blessed to be here. But I want to, tonight I want to talk to you guys about what are you willing to give? What are you willing to give? I found myself over just from the time I stepped into this role and began planning, just praying God's anointing over the message, over the services, over the campus, just believing for the miraculous. Can we do that? Yes. But that he would give me a specific word or a specific topic to share tonight. Now, let me tell you, whenever I had prepared, before we came here, we had just gotten back on the Saturday before from a missions trip, from leading a missions trip. Got here on Monday. We head back out again on Sunday. So I've done preparing weeks before, okay? And I got to camp, and Brother George spoke on my message like 4 nights ago. And I was like, okay, Lord, everything that I have prepared, because I prepared. I'm a A-type personality, a little bit OCD. If you haven't seen that, I work on it. Pray for me. But I thought, all right, Lord, so what does that mean? You want to take us in another direction. You want to speak, but it not be me and me preparing what I feel like the Lord had laid on my heart, because Brother George was to bring that message, not me. So tonight I want to talk about, how generous are you with the Lord? What are you willing to give? The beautiful thing about the anointing of the Lord is it is not about us. It's about him working through us. And so I want to pray tonight, if you'll pray with me. Lord, I just ask right now in the next few moments as I share, God, that you would be glorified, that you would speak through me. Lord, that the words that I speak would bring clarity to your word. Father, and to everything that's to be said, God, that it be from you. That it not be about me. It's youth night, but Lord, it is about you. Pointing everything back to you. And Jesus, I pray that is the main focus of everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open it to Mark. Mark chapter 12. Yes, we're back in Mark. I hope this hasn't been one of the morning services. Let me just tell you that. If so, Dr. David, Brother George, please forgive me. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. And I want to take it a little bit of a different direction. You guys probably have this memorized. I'll give you just a second while you get to it. The Gospels of Mark and Luke both relay this same thing about the widow's gift to the Lord. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of poverty, put in everything that she had to live on. You see, the story, it first shows how we should give. And I don't want to talk about the monetary things tonight. Okay, that's what they're talking about here. The 2 mites that were put in that technically to us equal almost a penny. It's a very, very small amount. But I don't want to focus on that piece of it. And when we walk away from here tonight, I want you to go beyond that. Not only did the woman give everything, but she did so with a cheerful heart. She wasn't worried that she wouldn't have the money. You got to see this woman, there's very little said about her. So we know that she was a widow, so she was by herself. We know that this was everything that she had. So as they're walking by, and you just imagine, I'm a visual person. I work with kids and teenagers, so I'm a visual learner as well. I can just imagine the clanking of the offering, and it's loud, and, you know, they're putting in these large amounts, and then these 2 little coins that just, you would have never heard it, because that's not what they were looking at. The disciples were watching what everyone, the amounts that everyone was putting in. But what I want to talk about is giving of what are you willing to give tonight? How generous are you with the Lord? Generous of your time, generous of your energy, generous of your praise and thanksgiving to Him, generous of your talents, and are you willing to be obedient to Him? One of the things that in ministry, we have been all in at all times. We don't do anything halfway. It's just not the way I'm wired. It drives me crazy. So when we were in Atlanta, and it was spring of 2017, and it was almost immediate. The same morning, we woke up, and we both felt released from the church we were serving at. I can't explain what that feeling feels like. It was just that time had ended. It was time to move on. And which is very scary when you don't know where you're going to go. You have three children and some dogs, which are like children. But you knew that that's what the Lord was asking you to do. So we had plans to stay there. We had no intentions of leaving. We were within our church. There's over 25 nationalities. We were the minority for the most part within our church. We loved it. Absolutely loved it. I believe it's what heaven's going to look like. But when we went to our pastor and just said, you know, we don't want to tell our kids yet. We want to wait, but we feel like this is what the Lord is telling us. So a few months later, and we didn't know what that time frame looked like. I was also, not only were we both on staff, on the church side, we had a school of over 260 some odd kids that I was the director of. And which meant there were a lot of other responsibilities that would have to be handled. So we waited it out. We kept just kind of praying that the Lord would give us the right time. And our son Josiah was leaving for a week of youth camp. And we told he was leaving after that for the next 7 weeks of a residency program where he would be serving in camps throughout and serving in churches on the weekend. And so we had decided before he leaves, when he comes back from camp, we've got to tell him, we're going to break his heart, that we're leaving our church and all of his friends and everything that he's known for the last 10 years. And so we were just praying that God was going to prepare the way and he was going to give us the right words. And Josiah comes home from camp, and normally you just come home and you're so excited and just you're energized, re-energized and all this. And he said, I need to talk to you guys. We were like, okay, what's going on, buddy? And he said, I really feel like the Lord spoke to me at camp. And we're like, that's awesome, you know, what'd he tell you? And he said that we're supposed to leave Dunwoody. We're supposed to leave Calvary. All right, he's 15. The first confirmation. And several things after that began to happen to prepare the way for us to go. Now, not every bit of that was easy. It was, we gave our resignation back in March. It was August before our last Sunday on the church side, and it was October before I was finished on the school side. So then, what we were gonna do, I called my mom, cause we thought, you know what, the Lord, we did not feel like we were supposed to put our resumes out. We didn't feel like we were supposed to, put our names out anywhere. We just really felt like the Lord was giving us a moment of respite with our family. And so I called my parents, and let me tell you, moving in with your parents, with three children and two dogs is not the best thing in the world. We almost killed each other a few times, but everybody made it out okay. It was good. Cause I said, Mom, what are we going to do? And she said, you guys come. So we put everything we own in storage, and we make the trek to Tennessee. And for a 3-month period, we gave Josiah the option to start school there in August and transfer later or just wait and go back and forth. And so he went ahead, he chose. We normally wouldn't give our children those decisions, but because of the situation, so Steve would drive him back and forth to Tennessee, which was about a 4-hour trip where they lived, every week until we were done on the church side and we could be together there as a family. Those 3 months were probably some of the most difficult months of my life because I had lost my identity and what I was doing. I somehow got caught up in the midst of this is what I do and not who I am in the Lord. I had lost my identity in Him. I was mourning just part of that identity. I was mourning some of the people that I had grown to love that were my best friends that I had to leave. And Steve had started this little making jewelry thing with the kids. It became a nightly thing for them. He kept saying, come on, let's do it together. And I was just like all feeling sorry for myself and my feelings. And just kept on. And through this, we really had intentions. We thought maybe the Lord is giving us a break from ministry for a while. Maybe we are here because we've never lived near family. We've never been near anyone. Our kids go with us everywhere. If they can't go, we don't go. It's just always been the way it is. And so we thought maybe the Lord is giving us a little bit of a break. So Steve starts applying for jobs. I'm not exaggerating. He put in over 40 job applications. All right, it's Christmas time and he can't even get a job at Walmart as a greeter. It was the craziest thing. 2 job opportunities come. They give him the morning of the day that he is supposed to go in for training and they call. No joke. He's supposed to be there at 9, 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. I'm so sorry. We've had some changes and we will not be offering you this job. Happened twice. The second time we were like, Lord, what is going on? Like, okay, you got to remember we're living with our parents. We're living off of our savings that we did have, which was so small, is now dwindling to nothing. Like, we're getting ready to start having to ask for money from my parents, which was going to be on a whole nother level of embarrassing. So we just kept praying and we're like, Lord, You are our provider. You always have the best timing and we trust that. Because we feared more of being out of the will of the Lord than being doing what we wanted to do, making our own decisions. Long story short, we got a phone call. I asked Steve, I said, what do you think about us going ahead and putting our resume out? I think it's time. It's been like 2 months and we've got to have something. We need to. And he said, I feel like we're supposed to wait 24 hours. 24 hours. After that phone conversation, he was at the mall at that point. He's going door to door putting job applications in at the mall. We had been at gas stations. I even went to places and began to put in my application. We're just trying some kind of income, anything. So within a 2-hour period, we got a call, long story short, which led us to Macon, Georgia. Incredible church, incredible pastor that we serve under. But the questions kept coming back to me of what are you willing to give for me? At what point are you willing to give me everything and not just what you want? You see, I had to be redirected through that time, which was a hard, hard lesson for me to learn, but such a good one. I was doing some research of words within the Bible. These key words are mentioned. Believe is mentioned 272 times. The word pray is mentioned 371 times. The word love is mentioned 714 times. And the word give is mentioned 2,152 times. You see, God is a giver. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. God sees what man overlooks. You see, the disciples, everyone that was in the temple that day, they're listening. They're looking for, I can only imagine, again, back to a visual person, I can just imagine them sitting back and watching as people bring in large amounts of money and they're putting it in. And no one cared about the sweet little lady who was bringing in those two coins. But Jesus saw it. He saw the humble gift of that poor widow. The gift that Jesus thought was worthy of a comment. The gift that the disciples needed to be aware of. She gave everything. See, in the world's view today, us giving everything means what's comfortable for us. If I'm going to give, I'm going to give what's comfortable for me. Because that's what the world's view is. We do that in our jobs. Sometimes we don't give our all. We do that with our finances. We do that in our relationships with other people. We limit what we can receive because our God is a giver. He wants to give. He wants to bless. But it's us that's the stumbling block during those times. What are you willing to give? You see, God's evaluation is also different from man's. Those two little mites equal a penny. That's our tabulation. That's how we would add it up. So she's giving everything, but his word says in Mark 12:43 that she had given more than anyone else had that day. The difference is one of proportion. The proportion was different. Hers was a true sacrifice. Hers was one of sacrifice. They hadn't even begun to give to the level of their sacrifice. One translation of the Bible with this verse says, all the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. You see, there wasn't a mystery of whether she was willing to give it back because she trusted him. She knew that when she walked away, he was still going to be her provider. She knew that when she stepped out and she gave everything she had, she didn't know where her next meal was coming from. She didn't know what next job may be provided for her, but she trusted in the one who could make that happen. There's so many different professions. I talk a lot about what we have done. But every single profession, one of the coolest things that has happened this week is we've been able to connect with some of these students. One of them works in a mechanic shop. He works with his dad. I won't call his name out so it's not embarrassing him, except right there. I'm just kidding. But one of the coolest things, and Steve actually was able to speak this to him, because a lot of times people think, oh, I can only be called to serve or give my all if I'm called into the ministry, if I'm called to go on the missions field, if I'm called to go and preach at churches, and that's not true. You see, in his mechanic shop, and what Steve shared with him is there are going to be people who come into your place of business that are going to be at the end of their rope because they don't have the money to pay. They can't take one more thing. They are at the very end. And this young man is going to have an opportunity to say, but I know the one who does. And if you put your faith in him, he is our provider. Maybe God has called you to be a mechanic, a chef, a pastor, a lawyer, a doctor, own your own business, and go on the missions field. The thing is, he's called us all to serve. He's called us all to go. None of us are separated from that. God commends our giving in faith. You see, here's a woman in need of receiving charity. She's the one that was needing to receive it, yet her heart was to give. Even though the amount was extremely small, what could she have even bought with what she gave? But it was the act of her giving and her willingness. She gave it in faith that God would use it. She gave it all. It's kind of like the widow at Zarephath where she gave her last meal to Elijah in 1 Kings. You know, it doesn't mean that whenever she walked away, you know, it doesn't tell us that she was completely destitute, went home, that she died of starvation. No, because we know that the Lord is our provider and that He provides. God's Word teaches us that in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. I want to share a little bit about our daughter, Kalan. You see, Kalan, from a very, very young age, isn't she pretty? She was always very different, just a little different. By the way, I'm not long-winded, so I'm so sorry. If you're like, oh, this is going to be our... No, no. Kalan was always very different. From a very young age, she didn't speak much. She was always very quiet. She is still quiet. But she was in kindergarten. Now you got to remember, we both work at the church. Our church had a school. I'm over all of this. And her kindergarten teacher came to me and she said, you know, Amy, there's something wrong with Kalan. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with her. She's fine. She said, no, there's something wrong. She sat for 30 minutes today on this easy assignment, and all she did was put her name on her paper. And I thought, oh, well, she's in kindergarten. No big deal. We wait a little bit longer. Things progress. No change. We start really tracking progress. No change. So I go. Dunwoody has some of the best schools in the state of Georgia. So I go to the public school. Okay, talk about awkward because I'm over this whole area here. So I'm stepping outside because I knew that we could potentially get some resources through the public school system. So I go and talk with the counselor. We end up having her tested. They wouldn't give us a diagnosis at that time, but they did say, yes, there are some things that are not right. So we're going to start the process of tracking every little detail. Everything that's going on. We get to third grade. So fast forward a couple, 3 years. Third grade is a horrible academic year. It's very, very difficult. And she was just on another level of struggling. And we couldn't figure out exactly what was going on. Part of it, I think, was our pride. We were so caught up in our daily things we're doing, you know, obviously her needs we're very focused on, but what is it? We can help fix it. We can fix it. We just need to figure out what it is and we can fix it. We can help her. We'll get her the right tutors. We'll do whatever we need to do. And it wasn't working. And we saw changes begin to happen in her. And I would hear her crying. I'd be in bed and it would be midnight. And she would be in there just weeping. And I'd go to her room and she couldn't even explain why she was crying. Another night I'd go to her room and she would be in a ball 1:30 in the morning. And she would just be crying and weeping. She became very, very almost reverted. She didn't know how to deal with her emotions. She didn't know what was happening. But she knew that something was wrong. We have her tested again. We get her into intense Christian counseling a couple times a week just to start figuring out and pulling apart all of these things. So we go on to have her tested to find out she's fully dyslexic. She has dysgraphia, which dyslexic means you can't read. Now, there's different levels of that. Dysgraphia is the writing portion. And she has short-term memory processing disorder. And we thought, okay, we can handle this. No big deal. We got it. But we couldn't. We couldn't fix it for her. So here we go. We're like, all right, Lord, here she is. Now I want to fast forward a few more years. Kalan is going into the seventh grade. She still can't read. She's on a kindergarten, barely kindergarten reading level. Our daughter, who is six, who's going into the first grade, can read better than Kalan can. However, and if you were to say, hey, write me a story, you wouldn't be able to understand anything that she wrote. If you give her a book to read and it says, the cat walked the dog, and you tell her what the word the is, by the time she got to the second the, she's already forgotten it. It's the short-term memory processing. However, she can memorize what you say. So we began, one thing that was important for us is, all right, we need to get the Word of God in her. Let's figure out what we can do to help her. How can we help her? She began to listen to the Bible. She listens to it. She's so disciplined with that now. Everything she puts in, worship music. Because you see, she even herself thought, there's nothing that I can do. I can't do this on my own. Everything that I know, I can give what I have, but it's just not enough. It's just not enough. I have friends who make fun of me. They ask me questions. You see, she's going through this whole nother level of anxiety and stress and fear that overcame her. And all we could do is just lay our hands on her and pray that God would heal her. And if he didn't, that he would use her for his glory. So we found all these apps. We found all these things that we could put on her device. We would have never gotten a girl her age a cell phone at that time. But it was an opportunity for her to use some of these resources through that are available out there so that we could help her with reading, with learning, with anything. So fast forward to sixth grade. Now all she puts in, and this is why I talked to the youth this week about the importance of what we watch, the importance of what we listen to, because what goes in is going to come out. It's in our minds, it's in our hearts, it's in our spirits. What we wake up with on our hearts in the morning. So we start the school year. We're crazy busy. And Kalon comes home from school. She's like, Mom, I've invited these four girls to church tonight. And I thought, oh, great. Because you know what that means? Mom's got to take them home. So I'm like, yes, of course. Yeah, you can invite them to church. So she's like, okay, well, can they ride the bus home? And I'm like, of course they can. Sure enough, week one comes. They ride the bus home. We take them to church. We take them home. Week two comes. They come to church. They ride the bus. We take them home. Week three comes. They ride the bus. We take them to church. Now this is in August. In September, the end of September of last year, Kalon got very, very, very sick. Now we can see what was happening in the devil just completely trying to destroy her and what was happening in her life. But at the time, we didn't know. We just thought she had the flu. 4 days go by, her appendix had ruptured early on. It had a small leak. And she was toxic by the time we had even gotten her to the hospital. It was affecting everything. They were the first hospital that we had taken her to. They said, all right, we're going to transfer you to a better hospital to where they can have the best surgeons. The surgeons have already been contacted. They're going to do surgery as soon as you get there. We are going to transfer her by ambulance. And we're like, okay, you know, all this is happening so fast. We're just believing for healing in Jesus' name that it's going to clear out. We didn't know at that time that she was toxic. We got to the hospital planning for them to do surgery. And they're like, we're not going to do surgery tonight. And we're like, okay, is she all right? You know what? Everything's fine. But they kept coming in every 30 minutes to check on her, check her vitals, pumping fluids, pumping medicines in her. The next morning, we got two other kids at home. So Steve had gone home. He came back really early that morning. And I said, they still haven't said anything. Well, at that point, we find out she had been toxic and things were going south very, very quickly. Long story short, we spent 2 weeks in the hospital. Long, long recovery period. She finally gets better. This is like a long process. If your organs are starting to shut down, it's not the easiest to come back and full of energy. So she comes back. She's finally back on, and she's like, I invited four girls to church. And I'm like, praise the Lord. They ride the bus home. We take them to church. We take them home. Let me tell you, four little girls got saved. I don't tell you that. Those little girls are still coming to church. Thank the Lord I'm not their bus driver all the time. But I got a call about 3 weeks ago. There is a organization that sends Bibles. It's called Fire Bibles, all over the world to different countries in their language. And it's an amazing, amazing thing that they do, that they're able to take these into these Bibles into these different countries. And I got a call because Kalan had shared her Fire Bible with one of these girls. And she had just told someone about it. They contacted me and said, hey, we want to use Kalan as our poster child. Would that be okay? So let me go back. A sweet little girl. She can't read. She can't write. She can't remember even what she sees on the paper. Yet, at the age of 12 years old, she has shared Jesus, and it is now starting to spread. What are you willing to give? Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to give? Again, I'm not talking about your financial. That's a whole, yes, that's what the two mites, that's what it's talking about. But I want to go beyond that. What are you willing to sacrificially give for Him? When you go, when you step out of what's outside of what's comfortable for you, and you allow the Lord to use you, the miraculous happens. He moves. He wants to use you. You see, I think the thing that we tend to say is, oh, I'm too old for that. You know how hard it is for me to get up here and follow anybody like Brother George or Dr. David? For real. Like anxiety? Here. But God's called me to serve. He's called me to love. He's called me to go and preach His gospel. He's called me to the streets of Atlanta, to people that we would not even talk to just be their friend and be the hands and feet of Jesus. You see, this widow had nothing. She had nothing, yet she had everything because she had the Lord on her side. God was with her the whole time. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You see, our God is constant. There is never a time when He wavers. There is His love is unconditional for us. His desire for you is to know that He is 100% with you. And what He's asking you to do is to say yes. That I'm willing to go. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to step outside of what may be comfortable for me at any age. And be His hands and feet. The lies that the enemy speak over us. Our work schedule's too busy. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm just not ready. I can't speak like Brother George. I can't memorize scripture. I told him a couple nights ago, I said, Brother George, you know how I memorize scripture? I sing it or I rap it. This white girl tries to rap, all right? But that's how I memorize scripture. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of the spirit world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The devil grabs a hold of that, and he kind of tries to twist and turn, and you're not good enough, you're not going to be able to do it. But God. So I'm going to ask you guys just to bow your heads for just a moment. See, Psalms 39 says that He sees the good in you and that you are so precious to Him. God has a plan. He is working the plan in your life, and God will complete the plan. He has chosen you. He has set you apart for this time. So tonight I'm asking you to be a giver. Tonight I'm asking you to step outside of what may be comfortable for you and say, yes, I will serve. Yes, I will go. Yes, I will love. They're going to begin to sing this song. And the altars are open. You know, I never want to miss an opportunity because we've been here all week. But maybe that you haven't surrendered everything to Him. Maybe there's a small part of you that says, oh, I just am not ready to give that up yet. But He's calling you. He's asking you to surrender it to Him tonight. To invite Him in to take complete control. So if you'd like to come, the altars are open.